Don Lemon, heard exclusively on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Why aren't we talking about it on the radio?
Don Lemon.
Don Lemon, good morning.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. I don't mean to be disrespectful and say it's not such a good morning, but I'm glad to be on the phone with you, and I'm glad to be able to report this. I was going to report on Lester Holt and give him his much-deserved congratulations, but here we are. And as we're speaking, Tom, they just wrapped up a press conference in Charleston, South Carolina. While we were sleeping overnight, a gunman apparently went into one of the oldest African Methodist and Episcopal churches in the South and opened fire. Nine people are dead because of it. This gunman is still on the loose. One reason it's such a big story is because the Charleston police chief, Greg Mullen, says he believes this shooting is a hate crime. The suspect is a young white man in his 20s, sandy blonde hair, 5'9" tall, last seen wearing a gray sweatshirt with an insignia on the left side, blue jeans, and Timberland boots. Police say the gunman went into the church, the Emmanuel AME Church, during a prayer service around 9 o'clock. He joined the prayer service last night, and then he began shooting. The pastor of the church is the Reverend Clementa Pinckney. He's also a state senator. He is among the dead. Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush was supposed to make campaign stops in Charleston today, but has since canceled. Hillary Clinton made them earlier in the week. The entire thing is just awful on so many levels. It's awful because of the lives lost, obviously. It's awful because if it is indeed a racial hate crime, it sets us so much further back with race relations in this country, right at the time we're dealing with it so often in relation to police and their interactions with black people. It's awful because if it is a religious hate crime, it's one more attack on religion and Christians in this country. Awful because it highlights just how ill-equipped we are dealing with people who are mentally ill in the country. Awful because it's just how it highlights how poorly we have dealt with the issues and the laws concerning firearms in this country. Awful because many of us have failed to realize that we need to take care of the aforementioned issues, the ones I just mentioned. Our lives depend on it. Nine lives were lost because of it. And all I can say now is Godspeed as I'm about to board a plane to go to Charleston.
Don.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what to think of the world anymore.
I don't either, Tom. You remember when we were talking about Sybil, you're there?
Yes, I am.
We were talking about how angry people are and upset, and we were just a couple commentaries ago. I'm with you, Tom. I don't know what to make of it. I don't.
Now, what's the relationship in this story and the Walter Scott story in North Charleston that happened not long ago?
The relationship that I had been mentioning is that the church had been raising money and had been dealing with those issues. It's probably deeper, more deeply connected than we know, because this is all just unfolding. But it is believed that this place was a safe haven for people who were dealing with the issues in the community, and that it was possibly targeted because it was a safe haven for and a free space for black people in this community. And that's a connection that I know about. There's probably more, a deeper connection.
Once they identify
who he is.
Because the pastor, who is also a state senator, sponsored a bill.
For the cameras on the vest.
Which makes sense for everybody, which makes sense for citizens, which makes sense for police officers. So I just think that sometimes we have gotten to a point where, for those
who don't remember the Walter Scott story,
shot in the back, stopped by police, was running away, shot in the back and killed.
That was about a couple of months ago?
2 months ago.
It was about 2 months ago. And that was in North Charleston, if you remember.
Yeah.
So I just think we've gotten to a point where we're not listening to each other. And people are just so upset, I guess, about racial issues because they're saying this is a hate crime. You know what hate crime means. And, you know, it can be a hate crime for all of the things that I mentioned. It could be a hate crime or for race. It could be a hate crime for religion. For who knows why people do the crazy things they do. It could be a mental health issue.
Logic,
it could be wrapped up in all of it.
We are such an.
So now I'm going to cover another story that involves race and the death of someone, another death of more people of color, more black folks that are.
And we're in St. Louis this morning. We're in St. Louis this morning, and coming by later this morning is Michael Brown's mom.
I was just in Florida with Daryl Parks, and we were just talking about that and what Ferguson meant to the country and what that family's experience meant to the country.
We're spending a lot of time going to memorials and funerals and covering tragedies for our people, and it's just, it's really sad. You're right. It's like one after another. We can't get over the first one before we're dealing with something else, you know?
And when I walk through the airport, people are like, uh-oh, where are you going to now? You know?
That what you get now? Wow.
Every time. Yeah, but listen. That's my job, considering why I'm going there, right? Those people are dealing with much bigger issues. But the country now knows, uh-oh, when they see a reporter or someone in the airport, they don't think, oh, you're going overseas to cover a war, you're going to, they automatically think a police shooting or some death of a person of color. Uh-oh, where are you going?
And but, then, you know, I forget where I was just a few days ago, and there was a minister who said that he had started a prayer group in his church after the whole spate of killings. And he said, you know, it stopped a lot of the violence in his town. And I don't think that there is enough conversation about the power of prayer and really joining together and making that just a component, just one component, but certainly to bring people together to pray without ceasing and to really make this a part of our agenda, as well as to get to the heart of the people who have such hatred. There's just the illness, the hatred in all of these plays such a big part in all of these killings. I really believe that. And we really have to come together. And I know this church was an example of doing that, but we have to keep it. We just can't stop the fight and the effort to save our nation.
I don't believe we should question God. But the question just keeps coming up. In my mind, this is Bible study. This is Bible study.
As humans, you're right.
I think we're human beings.
I don't understand.
And technically, you go, you shouldn't question God, but as a human, we do go, God, why? And I don't think, I think God's shoulders are big enough to handle those questions. Like we don't get the answers, but it just seems like it's just this war on black people. And I agree, Don, it's something against hate against religion as well, but as a black woman, I'm just sitting here going, it's every day.
Every
it's
day.
Something with my people.
But we also have to recognize free will. And we have to understand that, you know, God will only, you know, have.
It was Bible study.
I know.
But the thing about it is a life lost in Bible study is no less of a life lost in some other type of tragedy, you know.
True. But because it's a church, you tend to, you know, you
question safety.
It's ironic.
It's a safe haven. But people
think that the church is, you're right.
Wherever
but four
we go,
little girls died in a church,
theater,
which was a safe haven.
Even if it's a movie theater in Aurora,
right.
Even if it's a school in Newtown, all of those are, you don't expect someone to do that. And then, you know, the last place you're right is a church. But I have to say this, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I think that we need to, and make it a mission that people, because people think that they can say anything now without consequence. And I think that has to do with social media. When you read some of the things that people say, and I think that it's almost like playing the video games, right? And people are shooting, and then all of a sudden you become numb to it, like, oh, it's a game. It's not a game. When you say hateful things, and you can, you know, say F this and F that and go do this and
if
whatever.
I could, I would kill all of you.
I would kill all of you.
But, you know, in the weird part
careful about that, because that is also spreading hate, and people think all of a sudden you become immune and numb to hateful speech and voices. So
and the scary thing is that there's no place you can expect to die that you could say, well, I'll go there and nothing has ever happened.
There's no place. But I'm reading,
and that's
that
just sad.
I'm just reading on social media that the gunman was in the Bible study for an hour before.
Yeah,
that's what
Don
was saying. He was in there.
Don, I mean.
All right.
So, you know, because church is so welcoming.
Right.
I'll report back to y'all when I get on the ground.
All right. Okay. Safe travels, Don.
Be careful.